Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Amen. As you're taking your seat, please turn to Galatians chapter 4. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand and the ushers will be glad to bring one to you. We're going to be looking at seven verses this morning. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Very, very important that we understand that Paul is continuing to emphasize and re-emphasize the truth, the reality that salvation, eternal life, comes by grace alone. Grace alone. It's not by our works, it's not by our efforts, but it's by grace alone. Free gift through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But as we're studying these seven verses, as we're going through the book of Galatians, we traveled through three chapters, and he's been driving that truth home. But now he's beginning to make a turn or an addition to what he's teaching in a very special way. He's going to begin to emphasize who we are in Christ Jesus. This is the reality that salvation, eternal life, comes not by our efforts, not by our works, not by anything that we can do, but simply because of what Jesus has done. And then Paul, it's like he just gets so excited, and he says, now let me tell you something. And that's what he's going to spend these chapters that we see, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, in many ways, telling us this is the reality. Because of what Jesus has done for you, this is who you are. This is who you are. And he's going to show us in the midst of it how to walk in that reality, how to be empowered to walk by what he has done for us. Join with me, please, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born, or more literally, made of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, that includes the daughters that are here too, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Lord, we pray that you would take these words deep into our hearts. You would set us free. As we walk out of here this morning, we would go, Lord, you are good. So we love you. Bless in Jesus' name. Paul's saying, what I am saying is this. A person who has become an inheritor because of the death of the person who established the will has an inheritance, but they don't receive that inheritance until a certain time is fulfilled. This is something that the Jewish mindset would understand totally, totally. Let's say if you're a mom and dad, and you have a last will and testament. You put into that will, and let's say you have only one child, and you put into that will what you want to be fulfilled if, and the chance that both mom and dad, you, husband and wife, would die and go to heaven prematurely. And then you have, at that point, if the person died, the child was 7 years old. He's not old enough to receive the inheritance. And let's say the inheritance was $1 million, to keep it simple. He wouldn't, at 7 years old, know how to handle that, wouldn't know how to manage that, wouldn't, you know, he'd get ripped off. And so back in the Jewish time, as it would be in our time today, there would be somebody that would be put in place that would have the oversight of that $1 million, but here in the Jewish sense too, and in a real life sense too, there would be a guardian, a tutor, a person that would be responsible to raise that child until the age that was designated by mom and dad. Now, in the Jewish culture, it would be sometimes 14 years. It wouldn't be prior to that. 14 years, somewhere in that, and even to this day, they have the bar mitzvah at 13. So they could see them as an adult at that point. It might be older, but it was designated in that will. And Paul is using this example to once again teach them about the purpose of the law. The law was there to protect when a person was young and not able to make a stand for themselves, to handle that which was their inheritance. And so this was there. And we're going to learn as we go through this, and just a little preview of this, Paul is simply speaking about Jesus Christ. He's speaking about Jesus and the nation of Israel. Israelites were given the law at Mount Sinai, and that law had its place in their lives as a nation, as individual people, until the cross of Jesus Christ. And it was there to instruct them, to cause them to grow, to stay on that straight and narrow as they, by faith, looked forward to the coming of the Messiah and the truths that are found in Scripture, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53. We'll see other places in Isaiah today. We'll see these truths that were there hidden, the New Testament hidden in the Old Testament. And then when we get to the New Testament, we see the Old Testament explained in the New. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's explaining this wonderful work of God, this amazing truth. An heir, a person who has become an inheritor because of the death of another person. But there is this age that they must come and walk through. The Jewish nation had to walk through. Human beings had to walk through this time from Mount Sinai to the cross, and it was there as a tutor, an instructor to teach us about the right way to go, but it would also show us that we couldn't do it ourselves, so it would reveal a need in our lives, and we'd go, I can't. I'm not just frustrated about my sinful nature, but I'm frustrated because I can't do this, God. I want to so much, but I can't. And he goes, I know you can't. But I did. And that's what he's saying here. It's an amazing thing. As long as you are a child, as long as he is underage, or as long as he is under the law, then the inheritance couldn't be given to this person. Though in reality, as it says here in verse 1, he's a master of it all. He owns it. But notice again verse 1. Now I want to say this. This is all that I'm saying. That the heir, and they saw that right away, as long as he is a child, he's under that age, he's not come to that point to receive the inheritance, does not differ at all from a slave. He's still that servant that we see there, though he's a master of it all. He's a millionaire. He has it all. It's there. But he hasn't come to that point where he can receive it. It's an amazing thing, the mystery of godliness that's found in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, he says, but is under guardians, as I said, tutors and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. As is true also today, a child whose parents have died was considered a minor, even though he was an heir of the parental estate. According to the Roman law, the heir as a minor was placed in charge of a guardian, a tutor, who had been nominated by the father until he was at least 14 years old. The guardian was in total charge of the welfare of the minor, including all of his education. The management of the estate was entrusted to an appointed manager until the heir reached a designated age. Then, only then, could he take over the inheritance. Today, we can receive the inheritance because Jesus came. Jesus has come and set us free from the law. Until the time appointed by the Father, it points to the time in reality of our Heavenly Father sending Jesus to set us free, as I said, from the law. Look at verse 3. Even so we, when we were, now he's speaking to the Jewish mindset, the old dispensation. They were under the tutorage of the law. Even so, we, when we were children, that's what we were. We were children, just like this example Paul's saying, that you understand and you see it in your mind's eye. You see it's played out before you in many, many ways. Even so, we, when we were children, guess what? He looks what he says to him. We're in bondage. Bondage. Strong word is being used here. Very strong word being used here. Under the elements of the world. Bondage. Paul's referring back to the training period for the Jews from the time of Sinai, like I said, to the time of Jesus Christ and his atoning work done on the cross. This means they were enslaved under the elements. The elements. Paul was saying that God's covenant people were living under the law, learning that salvation was not by or through the law. That's what they were doing. They were learning this reality. Paul would also warn his people about the dangers of living under the elements of the world. Look on the screen, Colossians chapter 2. Please look there. Beware, Paul says, lest anyone cheat you. They're out there trying to cheat you through philosophy, mind tricks. Philosophy that they establish, and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. We don't want to go according to the tradition of men because it brings us into bondage. According to the basic principles or elements of the world and not according to Christ. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles or elements of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Why do you go back? We talked about this for three chapters. And he still emphasizes in this before he begins to make the turn that is important. What was true of the minor was true, Paul said, of the fellow Jews is what he's saying. And if we live under the law, it's true to us. And that's what he was concerned about. Look at verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But guess what? We don't have to be anymore. I think I heard a praise the Lord. That was a weak one. Who was that? Thank you, right there. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm not going to make you stand and have everybody look at you, but she's right there. She's my pal. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now it gets better. Watch. But when? Now there's a change. He's adding to the reality and the truth. But when the fullness of time had come, there was this point that God had designated that everyone would be set free from the law that was just there to guide us. It was our tutor. It guided us down that path, but it also taught us that we can't. So we have to surrender and accept what he has done for us. That's what he's saying. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born. That word right there, translated correctly, is made of a woman. Now, if we understand anything, an egg by itself cannot make anything. There has to be something added to that egg. And that's what God is saying here. But it's interesting, he's saying made of a woman. He's very distinct. He's talking about the virgin birth. I don't know how God did what he did, but he took what was there in Mary. And he took and implanted the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God himself, in her womb to be born as a baby. Now, doesn't that freak you out? Don't you go, tilt? Have you ever tried to explain that to an agnostic, an atheist? No way! Cannot be. Well, why? It just can't be. No, why? Help me with that. No, it just can't be. God cannot come down and do that. Well, why can't he? Could he create the whole universe? Yep. Then why couldn't he do anything that he wants to do? That's what he did. That's what he did. That's what Paul, he's getting so excited. When the fullness, you could see him. Guys, I want, we don't see it highlighted here. You know, if we're back in Paul's day, I think he underlined this. I think he put 12 stars next to it. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, but he was born under the law. There was a purpose for the law that he would come and he would be the one to fulfill that. This refers to all that God in his eternal wisdom had seen necessary to take place before the right time could come for his son to be born and the fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. Look on the screen. You're going to see Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter, that's the law, shall not depart. It's not going to be taken away until Judah, depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. It's going to stay there. The law will stay there until when? Until Shiloh. Who's Shiloh? Jesus. Notice, until Jesus comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. All the people that want to turn to him, we have to be obedient to what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about that. God so loved the world that he gave. This is what we're looking at. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that all we have to do is believe and we can receive eternal life. Anybody by a show of hands happy about that? Amen. That is beyond anything. It is freeing. Born of a woman goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and that will be on the screen there too. And it says, and I will put enmity, God speaking to Lucifer, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, capital S seed there. He shall bruise your head. That word is crush your head. Jesus will be victorious and defeat Lucifer there on the cross, and you shall bruise his heel. You think you're doing something by sending him the cross, but there's another purpose beyond anything that you can imagine. That is an amazing thing. God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Isaiah says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel stand for? God with us. It's right there. It's right all in the Old Testament. They just had to have a heart of faith. Those in the Old Testament are saved by faith, looking forward to the cross. We today are saved by faith, looking back at the cross. It's all about the cross. Is what God is saying. They were born under the bondage, or he was born under the law. Look at verse 5. Why did he come? Why was he born? To redeem those who were under the law. And I go, praise the Lord. This verse gets 4 stars in my Bible. If you're new today, I have 1 star, I have 2 stars. The most stars you can get is 4 stars. This is a 4-star verse, okay? To redeem those who are under the law, that we, here it comes, you and I, might receive, what could we receive? The adoption as sons. Now, daughters, you need to know that includes you too. The adoption. Paul took a lot of time in Romans chapter 11 to make it so we could understand what he's talking about. We're not going to turn there. But he talks about there's this vine, it's Israel. And it's been given everything. God himself has come along and cultivate that vine. But they rebelled against him. And there on that vine, branches were broken off. And that branch was bare there. That vine was bare in that area. And so God in his wisdom brought along the Gentiles and caused them to become a branch. And he grafted them into that vine. The vine is the blessings that God will give through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the way through the patriarchs and the blessings that are there for Israel. And it's there. And we as Gentiles had no way except God in his wisdom took us as Gentiles and put us and grafted us into that vine. Anybody happy about that? Now, because of him grafting us into that, we partake of the same blessings, the same promises that were given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and given all the way through century after century after century, but it's simply because of Jesus. He is the true vine. We are now the branches. And I go, praise the Lord. To purchase the freedom. Look in the screen, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Any that would accept him. They will receive the adoption as sons, receive the full right of sons. They can have the inheritance. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That is amazing. Look at verse 6. And because you are sons, that's who you are, God has sent forth the Spirit, capital S, third person of the triune God, of his Son, where? Into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Aramaic, daddy, daddy. Now, dads, if you have a daughter, and even if you have a son, they don't do this very often, but daughters do. They send you text messages, like I got this week, and it said, hi, daddy. I took that to Vi, and I said, look, she called me daddy. Exciting. She's sitting right there. I'm going to get embarrassed. Daddy, just lit me up. Think about our Father in heaven. He's given us the permission to go, Dad, Daddy. Is that not amazing? The creator of this whole universe? One of my goals one day is to go to, either it's in Peru or Chile, this place that is above the Earth's atmosphere, the interference of the atmosphere. And they've got all these stargazing telescopes and all that. But they say you see the heavens like no other place in Earth. I'd love to go down there and just get blown away. I remember one time in the South China Sea, I think I mentioned this maybe last week, or we were talking about it this week, just being in the South China Sea on the aircraft carrier, the sun was going down. It was the most beautiful sunset that I've ever seen in my life, from the brightest colors all the way through to the darkest colors all the way around. And I wish I would have known God at that point. Wish we would have had cell phones. Could have taken a picture. God is good. And we get to say to him, Daddy, Daddy. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. He's actually saying here literally, because you really are his sons. Notice it is the Father who sent forth the Holy Spirit of his Son. In Acts chapter 1, it says this, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And where is that to be found? In your hearts. And I wrote in big capital letters in my notes, what an amazing reality. God has come to live within us, to tabernacle within man. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Look on the screen, Romans 5, 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says, who was given to us. Crying out, Abba, Father, as sons, God in his grace made us his heirs, heirs of eternal life. And look, as we close, verse 7. Therefore, verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God. And an heir of God, how? Through Jesus Christ. That's God's vision for us. That's God's vision for us. Andrew, I don't know if John David's in here. I don't see him because I'm going to end really early. Thank you. Aren't you guys happy? Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we have moved from servitude to sonship. What amazing reality. Again, we are heirs of God, not heirs of Bill Gates. Heirs of God. That's who we are today. Hebrews says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit eternal salvation? Look on the screens, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven What's it say? Take that personal. Today, if there's anyone that has never, ever received Jesus Christ, may I encourage you before you go, come talk with me, talk to the person next to you, whatever it is, pray and ask God to forgive you of all of your sins. Invite him to become your Lord and Savior and receive eternal life. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, notice it says there, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's you and I. And their righteousness is from me. He's given us his righteousness, says the Lord. I am amazing. We do. Take that off. Take that off. That was the flesh. No. That ruined the whole mess. The whole close of the message. How do you recover? Do we serve a wonderful God? Amen. He is worthy to be praised, is he? Shall every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord? Yeah. In this section of Scripture, Paul dramatically emphasized the full meaning of being sons and all this term means. He said this, Paul, number one, clearly revealed to us that as sons, through the Spirit's work, we can call him Father with all its implications. Number two, as sons, God in his grace made us his heirs, heirs of eternal life and heirs of his life right now as we live out our lives on earth. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, and this is where we'll close. Romans chapter 8. It could not be any sweeter than this, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit, capital S, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out. Here it comes again, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How many believe you're children of God, a child of God? Look at that. How do we know that? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And if children, verse 17, then heirs, heirs of God, that's good enough. But look at the next, and joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, yes, we have to deny this world and ourselves that we may also be glorified together. God good? Truly is. It just keeps getting better in Galatians. It truly does. So God, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. How can we ever say thank you enough? Today, we just want to worship you and acknowledge you and keep it simple and just come on our knees and come to you and say, Dad, I'm kind of confused right now. Dad, right now I'm battling this disease. Dad, I feel so lonely. This person has rejected me. Dad, you know my marriage is not doing well. Daddy, I feel lost, just lost. And Lord, I know when we do that, you come and speak. You tell us that you will never forsake us, that you will never leave us. You tell us that if we walk by the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You tell us, Father, trust me. Persevere. Walk in faith. And you tell us, I love you, my children. I love you. It's all taken care of. Just put it at the foot of my son's cross. Just leave it there. And turn around and walk towards me. And I'll give you the biggest hug you've ever known. Bless us, Lord. It's that simple. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.